Hi, and welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer expert sex advice so you can have an amazing sex life. You can submit a question to be answered on future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com. While you are there, you can explore the podcast archives with almost 100 episodes for your delight. Be sure to join our free newsletter to get a weekly dose of erotic inspiration delivered straight to your inbox. When you are ready to master new erotic skills and unleash more pleasure in your life, enroll in one of our erotic mastery courses. Our online multimedia courses cover everything from couples massage to foreplay mastery to erotic spanking, and you'll find them over at pleasuremechanics.com. Use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about dirty talk and how you can integrate it into your sex life without any embarrassment. Charlotte's going to get us started by reading a question, actually two questions submitted by two listeners. As sometimes happens, we get these clusters of emails around the same theme, and that's when we know we must do an episode on it. Charlotte's going to get us started. Here are two questions submitted by two different listeners.
Hello. First of all, I wanted to say I love, in caps, this site. Everything about it. Thanks for doing what you do. You're welcome.
We love you, in
yes,
caps.
Yes, thank you. Anyway, I think it's incredibly hot and sexy when people dirty talk during sex. Whether hot and passionate or rough and dirty sex, it's so hot. My problem is that I want to dirty talk as well, but never know exactly what to say or how to word it without coming off as odd and not being sexy. Thank you, Stevie. Aaron writes, I really get turned on when my lover talks dirty to me. He doesn't do it very often, so I would love to encourage him to do it more. The problem is that I have a hard time finding the words to talk dirty myself. Help, please. I've never been able to do it, and I don't know how to get over it or through the block I seem to have. These are great questions, and so many people wonder about this. It is a very common question, so we are very excited to dive into this.
And just so you know, this topic and what we're going to share with you today is a tiny little sneak peek into our upcoming course. We have been hard at work at our new course. It's our biggest course yet, and we will announce more details soon. So stay tuned, because we're going to share little bits and pieces of this course as we get ready to offer it to you. So be sure to join our newsletter as well, because we will be revealing behind the scenes glimpses into the course and more details there as well. So go over to pleasuremechanics.com and be sure to join our newsletter to be part of that global community, as well as this podcast community. We love you all. Okay, so let's talk about dirty talk. First, this word, dirty talk. We want to be clear that dirty talk is just one version of the broader category of erotic talk.
As a culture, we so often talk about dirty talk as being the only way that we can talk about sex together. And I think it stems from this idea that just to talk about sex is dirty, but in reality, there can be this huge, broad range of erotic talk that can have a whole variety of erotic energies and feelings behind it. There can be this range from raunchy to romantic, playful, seductive, whether we're being merely descriptive and it has a lot of reverence and awe and wonder in explaining and describing what it is you guys are doing to one another, or it can be rougher and playing with the power dynamics that may be happening that can have a slightly dirtier, raunchier edge. I think it's important for us to notice that dirty talk is just one part of the spectrum of how we can talk to each other about sex.
Right, and what are we even saying when we're calling something dirty talk? For me, that means using raunchier words and being a little rougher with each other, and it's in the midst of sex, and you're saying things like, yeah, give it to me deep, baby. Is that what you consider dirty talk?
Yeah, where it's a little bit rougher.
So I think just as we're talking about this, like the range of if you're about to have intercourse, let's just say, and the recipient could say something like, I want to feel you deep inside me. That has a really different feeling than fuck me hard, big boy, which has a really different feeling than, oh, I can't wait to feel you inside me again, right? Like these are all different versions of saying the same thing when it comes to the sex act. But what gives them the different feeling is the energies behind this. And we've talked about this before of erotic energy as an overlay over the sex acts you're doing. And when it comes to speaking about sex in the midst of sex, the erotic energy becomes really apparent in the language we choose to use, the words we choose to use, how we say it, the tone of voice. Yeah, I mean, this is language as a whole. This is what makes language so beautiful, is it's not just the words we use, it's how we say it. It's the juxtaposition of language. So you can play with this in your sex life. And what's freeing here and why we start our advice from this perspective is for it to be hot, it has to be authentic to who you are and your relationship and the mood of sex in that moment. And to remember that there's this huge range from sweet and seductive to raunchy and even kind of brutal, this gives you the option of expressing yourself in the most authentic way, which makes it more hot and it also makes it a hell of a lot easier. Because there's nothing harder than when you're in the throes of passion to be someone you're not and try to talk dirty like you saw in porn or you read in erotica or the way you think it's supposed to go. Because then you kind of start feeling like a fool because it's not who you are. Whereas if you're really speaking from an authentic place of how you're feeling in that moment, it can flow really naturally and become kind of an oral lubricant to your sex.
Lovely. Oral lubricant. That's fun. But I think that, right, as you're saying, that's well said. The awkwardness that can happen so easily when you're talking dirty often is because we're not feeling confident. We're feeling unsure. We're like, is this a little weird? And that becomes so unsexy. So it's really about committing to what you're committing to and going for it. And there are ways that you can set yourself up for success, which we'll get into a little bit more later.
Right. I think it's really important to remember that talking during sex is a very advanced erotic skill. Many people find this really difficult, intimate, and even really vulnerable.
For me personally, I feel like I have had some relationships where talking is very easy in the relationship and other ones where it's more challenging. And I find it so much easier to be naked and to be doing physical things than talking. Talking during sex is a vulnerable edge for me. And it's interesting that some people will find it very easy, others will find it really challenging. I think it's just valuable to notice that it is just one kind of experience you can throw into the sex act that has different levels of vulnerability for different people. But remember that anytime there is something that's vulnerable, that's a great place to go. That's a great place to find and explore and push yourself a little bit, because that's when things get interesting and intimate and exciting.
And what we know for sure is that verbally expressing yourself during sex can not only be really sexy for both of you, but it can also really lead to better sex. Because when you free your voice during sex, you are able to gently give instructions, or not so gently, depending on how you're feeling. You can give instructions to your lover. You can guide them towards the things that are giving you the most pleasure. You can talk about what worked and what didn't. And over time, these kinds of conversations are going to lead to a much better sex life. So we are really committed to teaching you how to use your voice during sex in a way that's authentic to who you are, to enhance not only that sexual moment, but your entire sexual future. So let's get over our verbal performance anxiety together and start talking about how to integrate verbal communication into your sex for more pleasure. So the first step is really talking about sex in general, outside the bedroom, in your relationship, you've got to be able to talk about sex without nervousness, discomfort, anxiety, or embarrassment.
And that can be a process. If you start...
This is all a process.
Absolutely. But if you feel uncomfortable talking about it now, that's a great reason to jump in and just know that the more you talk about it, the more comfortable you'll get. It doesn't mean you have to stop talking about it because it feels uncomfortable.
Definitely. And this is why we encourage you to start talking about sex outside the bedroom, so you're not in that charged moment of being naked and fucking one another. You're at a dinner table, or you're walking in a park, or you're on a long drive. Anytime you can have intimate conversation without a lot of distractions, you can take that opportunity to talk about sex. And how do you introduce this topic? Well, this podcast is a great way to start. We've heard from so many couples, and this always thrills us when couples report that they both listen to the podcast, either together or separately, and then talk about the topic we covered. And they use the podcast as a jumping off point. If you're not comfortable asking your partner to listen to this podcast with you or on their own, you can also just use what is one of my favorite lines to introduce conversation about sex. And that is this. Here's the setup. Honey, I just read an article about blank. What do you think about that? And blank can be, honey, I just read an article about prostate massage. What do you think about that? Have you ever heard about that? Honey, I just read an article about power play in the bedroom. What do you think about that? By saying that you came across an article, or you can use a podcast, by saying you came across this idea and you're just checking in with your partner, it doesn't make it personally charged. You're not saying, honey, I'm really interested in prostate massage. Will you do it for me? You're introducing the topic in a more neutral way and opening a conversation that can get the ball rolling. You can start exploring ideas without being so personally charged.
I would add to that, and I was a little bit excited about it, or I was a little bit curious about it. What do you think?
But that makes it more personal and vulnerable. I think you wait, and maybe this is a point where we disagree, honey. Maybe you, I think you wait and kind of test the waters, because if your partner responds immediately like, ugh, prostate massage, I would never do that, you can then be like, why? What do you have against it? Is it a hygiene thing? Do you think that's not, you know, you can start talking about it without all of those personal feelings being on the table. Whereas if you've said, I'm excited about it, and your partner's rejecting it, you're already in a conflict of rejection. So I would really advise, especially if it's a vulnerable topic, if it's something that you know your partner's into or is not so charged for you, maybe you can throw that in. But if it's a vulnerable place of sharing a fantasy or a desire, I think you lead with a more neutral stance.
Great. Well, I feel like we could talk about this at some other moment, but I don't want to take us on too much of a tangent for now.
But just remember that setup. Honey, I came across this topic. What do you think about it? And start getting into the habit of talking about sexual topics as if you were talking about sports or politics or the weather.
Or cooking.
As soon as it's a neutral topic that you can just banter and go back and forth and confidently talk about, you have mastered step one of erotic talk. Because that makes sex something that is on the tip of your tongue, and that is a good thing.
The next conversation we would recommend having outside of the bedroom, or lounging around in bed, but not during sex, is what is the language you like to use when talking about your genitals and sex acts?
Because we all have different turn-ons and turn-offs when it comes to this language. Some people love the word pussy, other people find it disgusting, some people like cock, others want penis or lingam.
Right, others like cunt, others don't. It's really important to have a mutual language that you enjoy for the most part.
I think what's more important here is finding the words that are turn-offs. So if you can have this big pool of language, that's totally okay, and depending on the different energy of the moment, you might call it a penis or a cock. You want to find out from your partner what you do not want to say, because that's where you'll lose the erotic charge if you slip in pussy and your partner hates that word. So find the words that you don't want to use, set them aside, and then give yourself this bank of vocabulary that you both find hot and fun to use.
Right. The words we use for genitals and the sex acts that we talk about are really important, but also there are other terms that you can use in bed that can have a really strong charge
in one direction or the other.
For a turn on or a turn off. Yeah. For instance, words like slut, whore. Some people love to throw those into dirtier sex play and it gets really exciting. Or, of course, it can be a massive turn off. So you have to really have those conversations beforehand or just agree to experiment because you're not sure. And in certain moods, they can be great. In other moods, not so much. So this is where being authentic and being real and being okay with making mistakes and making up are really important.
Well, and having communication outside of the bedroom so you can say afterwards, sex last night was really hot, but when you call me a dirty bitch, I don't really like that. Can you try little slut instead? And to have that be an okay conversation and one that moves your sex life forward instead of causing resent and a setback.
You don't want to shame each other for experimenting with these things.
Right. It's a work in progress always, and you're learning. And again, one of my favorite questions is, what could have made it even better? Because that phrases it in terms of looking forward in your future sex life instead of looking back and pointing out the things that went wrong. Instead of focusing on what went right and trying to do more of that in the future. So this is, again, one of these places where communication inside and outside of the bedroom mesh and support one another. And the more you practice one, the easier the other gets. And just to mention, again, in our upcoming course, we're going to give you tools that will make this erotic communication process really easy and sexy and part of your fun together instead of awkward and tense and nervous. To continue our conversation around erotic communication in bed, I think it's really important to emphasize starting slowly, introducing erotic talk, dirty talk, little bit by bit, so you take the pressure off. If you can just challenge yourself to say 5 words next time you're getting aroused, next time you're in bed together, and see how it goes.
There can also be a real charge in practicing this sentence or 5 words outside of the bedroom. Some people really love to experiment with using this sort of erotic talk in public. So you're at a bar and you lean over and you whisper what you want to do to them later. You can really play with being in unexpected places.
Right, by bringing erotic talk into unexpected places and public spaces, you're creating anticipation and longing and creating that thrill of having a little sexual moment in secret in a public place. And for a lot of people, that in and of itself will be an arousing moment, let alone creating anticipation for what's to come. So that also takes the charge out of you're not in the throes of sex. So you can focus on just crafting one perfect sentence and executing your erotic talk perfectly and having that moment of confidence. So now let's talk about some different ways to talk to your lover, because all erotic talk is not the same. Here are 4 different ways, and I'm sure there are more. Come up with your own. But here are the 4 big categories of erotic talk. 1.
So the first is being descriptive. So this is saying what you're doing while you're doing it.
Or what your lover is doing.
Right. Mm-hmm. So telling your lover what feels good while they're doing it to you. So it's sort of like sports casting. You're like narrating what's going on in the moment.
And he's rounding second and it's going to be it, right?
Right.
Or in bed, it might sound like, I love the way you look when you're sucking my cock. Or, oh, that feels so good when you're dragging your fingers down my thighs. You're saying what's happening. And what's nice about this style of erotic talk is it can go very easily into the 2nd form of erotic talk, which is instructive. So instructive erotic talk is when you're going from narration to what you want to happen. So I love the way you're touching my thighs. Maybe you could scratch me a little bit. Right? So you're going from what's happening to what you want to happen, and that can be a very natural segue and can be a great way to beautifully ask for what you want in bed in a way that doesn't sound demanding or kind of clinical, but actually sounds really hot. And a lot of people really want to know what would bring you more pleasure. That is actually a gift. It's something you're collaborating on to build more arousal and experience more pleasure. And that can be hot for both of you. And the third kind of erotic talk is fantasy.
This is where you could weave an intricate story of what you could imagine happening, what you might like, what you might think was really hot. This is just pure fantasy that you're narrating and speaking as you're doing what you're doing.
So an example of this might be, oh, that feels so good, but do I hear someone coming? Someone might come. And if your fantasy is being caught having sex in public, just saying those words out loud that someone's going to find us, hurry, could create a spike of arousal for you. Or it can be as outlandish as, oh, my knight, I'm so glad you found me. You've saved me from the queen. And you can have this fairy tale fantasy that you overlay onto what's actually happening. So the sex is real and the story is pure fantasy. And there is a certain percentage of people that the fantasy, the drama, the story really turns them on. For other people, it feels like awkward high school theater class where you don't really know what you're doing and it kind of takes you away from the sex. And so you can play with this kind of erotic talk to one degree or another. Some people might make it a huge part of their sex life, and for other people, it might just be fun and playful once in a while to be like, ooh, is your roommate coming home? I might, da 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 da. Right? So fantasy can be outlandish or just a little enhancement to the sex you're already having.
Something that people do if they are thinking that might be interested in threesomes is to explore what they might be doing if there was another body there verbally. Mm. Like that is one of the baby steps we suggest in our How to Have a Threesome book.
Right.
So that's a way to play with it.
And it can be layered on top of using a sex toy. And so you're using a dildo and pretending it's another man and talking about what he's doing and who he is. And you have that dildo to create that physical experience of the story you're telling. So stories and props can support one another.
And as we were saying, of course, that can be something that's a great turn on or a great turn off for people. So again, you have to know your relationship and what works for you guys and experiment. So this is not a one size fits all.
It's true, but I've also talked to couples who one person wants to go on and talk about the big fantasy and the details of this like outlandish fairy tale fantasy, and the other person not so much, but he's happy to be fucking her while she's doing that. You know, so if it's not a turn off but neutral, and for the other person is a huge turn on, you can go with it. And some people warm up to it after the awkwardness and the strangeness for them. It's not strange at all, but the newness, I should say. Once that wears off, some people start getting into it and start being like, yes, I am your prince. I am going to ravish you.
I'm your pirate.
You're my possession now. And all of a sudden that comes over them and they give themselves permission to step into that. So like all sexual skills, these things are acquired over time and you'll have ups and downs with them. So never write something off because either it sounds new or scary, or if you've had a bad experience in the past, that doesn't mean it might not be part of your best sex ever in the future. All right. And the fourth kind of erotic talk is inviting erotic talk. It's seduction. It's pulling people into an erotic space using your voice and your words. So this usually starts outside of the bedroom, but then can continue once you're in bed as you lure your lover into deeper layers of your seduction. But it's creating a shift of energy. And so if you're having dinner and winding down and all of a sudden you're feeling a little spicy and like you might want to have some sex tonight, as you finish your wine, you might look over at your lover and say, so what's for dessert? And it's not what you say, it's how you say it and how you pull them into a little trance, a little spell. Because if you say that, hey, what's for dessert? You might be getting ice cream. But if you look at them right and you use your voice right, you might be getting something else.
And I just want to, right is a term that I feel like people get caught on. It's never right or wrong, but it's you're exploring what feels seductive. Like if you feel turned on by this idea of what could be happening later and you're
It's right for the moment and right for you.
Yeah, you're evoking
a certain response.
Yeah, what's possible.
And seduction is a huge topic, and we'll talk more about it in the future, because it can look a lot of ways. People think seductive and they think like the femme fatale.
Lingerie.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be that at all. It's much more of an attitude and an energy. You can seduce someone wearing...
sweatpants.
Yes. And I think to think about this form of erotic talk, just really think about pulling someone into your spell. It's when you feel turned on, you feel ready for a certain experience, and you're inviting that person that you love into your proposal. And this pulls us into our last piece of advice for this episode, which is how to use your voice. So we've talked about ways of talking and how to talk, and there's certain skills on how to actually train your voice to be a little bit sexier.
It's thought that people are mostly turned on by the voice that people are using as opposed to what they're saying, that it's really about the tone of voice more than anything. And that is something that you can master even if you feel uncomfortable talking, or it's a good place to start. And so letting your voice be deeper, letting it be breathy.
Acquiring an English accent doesn't help.
Doesn't hurt.
And why, I think this is a good point to pause on, why is breath sexy?
Well, I think breathiness, when you're breathing deeply, is evocative of when you're in passionate sex of sorts.
Right, it's one of the measures of arousal.
Right. And so I think that it evokes that. And I would say that if all else fails and you just do not feel like you can do any of this speaking, a great thing is just to breathe deeply in someone's ear and make sound.
Let them hear your exhale. Maybe that sounded really weird in your headphones. Sorry about that. But right, let them hear your breath and use your breath more in your language, and not in a silly, overdramatic way, but just be aware of it as a way of relaxing your diaphragm, letting a little more breath flow into your voice, and trying to be a little sexier that way. And I think a big piece also is being authentic. We've talked about this a little in the beginning of the podcast when we talked about finding your style. But if you're trying to force it and be someone you're not and just replicate something you heard on porn, it doesn't usually come off as very hot because it's not you. So in all of this erotic talk, make sure it's coming from a place of authenticity and what really turns you on and what you want to explore. And that will be the hottest of all. Because one of the hottest things about sex is knowing that your partner is present with you and having a shared intimate experience in that moment. And when you are authentically bringing your voice and showing up, because speaking is one of the ways we say, hello, I'm here. And when you're doing that in bed, no matter what you're saying, you could be ordering off a deli menu. And if it's coming from this place of like, I am here and my voice is here and this is what I'm finding hot, it could be really a big turn on.
And this is another piece of advice that we've mentioned on other podcasts, but it's worth mentioning here again, because we're talking about this specific subject. One of the easiest ways to get started is when you take a breath in, is to just make a sound on the exhale. So a moan, a groan, any kind of sound that feels right in that moment. That is a great moment for making more noise and letting your partner know that you are into what's happening. It doesn't even have to be a sentence or a word, though if you want to build up to saying a sentence or a word, go for it. But a sound on the exhale is a wonderful place to start making more sound in bed.
Right. So if this whole podcast has felt a little bit scary or intimidating, if you can just start there, making a sound on the exhale, notice what happens. Do you feel more present during sex? Do you feel more turned on? How does your lover respond? Make it a tiny little experiment, see what happens, and then build from there.
And also, if you want to get more comfortable just speaking erotic words and language, practice reading erotica out loud on your own if you want, or to your lover, just so you get the sound of those words in your mouth and get more comfortable speaking erotic language, in addition to having all those great conversations outside of the bedroom with your lover. It's a great way just to get more comfortable speaking these sorts of things.
Totally. And usually erotica anthologies are very short stories, or two or three pages at the most. And you can read them one after the other. And what's nice is you'll find some things that turn you on and some things you'll laugh at together because it's not your turn on, but it's still really fun and interesting to read them out loud. And it is a little bit of a banquet of erotic possibilities, and you get to walk through the banquet, see what looks good to you, and take little pieces of inspiration that you might want to play with. So that is a great place to start, as Charlotte said, is read erotica out loud, and we recommend short stories out of anthologies.
Yeah, and point out what you find hot to each other.
Plus, they often have dialogue, and so what you're doing is you're putting other people's words in your mouth, and it's a really easy place to start, because you don't have to think about what to say, you're just reading out loud, but you'll find yourself saying things that may feel really good to you, and you can see what turns one another on when it comes to the dialogue specifically, above and beyond the overall themes and sex acts that are happening.
And then you can just be focusing on your breathiness and your tone of voice and just getting more and more relaxed as you speak. And that will carry over into your bedroom. The point here is just to have fun with this. This is another layer, another activity, another element that you can bring into your sex life to increase the charge, to feel more turned on, to add a little bit more interest. It's just an element you can play with more or less at different moments, but it is valuable to allow it to be an experience that you're not afraid of and don't want to go into because it feels scary. But it's great if this is a skill that you have some comfort with and eventually some mastery over. And know that it can be a lifelong relationship. You don't have to do everything immediately, but just start. Start with something that feels unintimidating and just play with it and have fun with it and see how it affects your turn on and your relationship. And we hope that you have such fun with it.
Indeed. And a final little bonus you can do is listen to audio erotica. There's a bunch of great erotica anthologies that have been translated into audiobooks, and they're available at audible.com. And you can get a free book of your choice, and it might be erotica, it might be something else, if you go to audibletrial.com/pleasure. That's audibletrial.com/pleasure. You can sign up for a free month membership and get a free book of your choice. And we recommend getting an erotica anthology, listening to it, and let that be a place to start being inspired to use your erotic voice. And we'll also link up some of our favorite erotica anthologies over at the show notes page for this episode at pleasuremechanics.com. And this is episode 99, which you'll find in the podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com. While you're at pleasuremechanics.com, sign up for our newsletter to be the first to hear about our amazing upcoming course. We're so excited about it. And to get a free weekly dose of erotic inspiration delivered straight to your inbox, you'll find the sign up form at pleasuremechanics.com. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers.